May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 215, 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. Hymn 215.
Please, Almighty God, to bless the reading of his holy words to our soul's profit this morning. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we'll read chapter 5. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and reading chapter 5. I would just say, especially to you young people, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans is a very instructive epistle, and it has a wonderful amount of direction and blessing. And this fifth chapter is one of the very important ones. But it starts with the word therefore. And so it's obviously referring to that which has gone before. As you probably know, in the original there were no chapters, and therefore the things followed on. So we'll just go back in chapter 4, and we'll commence reading at verse 14. So chapter 4, verse 14, and then we'll read chapter 5. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if through the offence of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word and help us now to call upon his name in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed, ever gracious, merciful, long-suffering, and holy Lord God, that one who is high and lifted up, that one who we believe is in glory, we're thankful to know that as we come in prayer this morning to our Father in heaven, we can come through the merits and intercession of our great and glorious High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we seek that we may not come in vain this morning, but give us, Lord, that faith to believe. We do come to a God who hears, and we do come to a God who answers prayer. And so, Lord God Almighty, we've gathered here on this Lord's Day morning. We trust to worship. We trust to bow down before our God. We trust we've come to hear what that God will speak to our souls. And we pray therefore, Lord, that that may be heard. Lord, be not silent unto us, lest if thou be silent unto us, we become like those that go down into the pit. And so, gracious God, we're thankful that we have a great God, and we pray that every one of us this morning may have some right understanding of the greatness of God and the power of God and the majesty of God and the grace of God. O Lord, may these things flow together so that we may truly bow down before thee and worship. And Lord, we pray that as we've gathered here together this morning, that our minds may be kept centered upon the great things of God. Lord, we know our great adversary, the devil, desires to direct our minds to trivial things of time and to distract us from the greatly important things of God. But Lord, we know we have a God who is able to keep us, keep our minds fixed upon those things which are so vital and so important. And so, Lord, we seek earnestly thou wilt remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Indeed, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And we pray, gracious God, therefore, that will remember us each for good. We confess, Lord, we're unworthy of any notice. We never were worthy of any notice, and we never will be in and of ourselves. But we're thankful to know that we come to a merciful God, a God who does not deal with us as our sins deserve. And we pray that as we've gathered here for worship this morning, we may understand something of the great and glorious truths that we read together in the Word of God. We pray we may each know thy grace. We may each know the wonderful, undeserved favour of Almighty God, remembering us in our low estate, coming to us, lifting us up, and granting us that true belief that we approach unto the Majesty on high, the Lord God Almighty. And Lord, may that great truth solemnize our minds and help us to realize we do not deal with, as the apostle said, the unknown God, but Lord, we deal with the true God, the God who created all things, the God who holds everything in his hands, the God who controls our little lives, our every thought, our every action, our every word. And so we pray, Lord God Almighty, that would come upon us here. We're thankful, Lord, for the wonderful liberty and the privilege that we have of being able to gather together without any fear of disobeying the laws of our land. We're grateful, Lord, for the freedom that we have, and we confess so often we've not appreciated the wonderful blessing and the wonderful favour that this is. But we pray, Lord, today, by wonderful and glorious personal experience, we may realise in some measure what a wonderful favour it is to be able to gather together to worship the ever-living and true God. And so, Lord, we pray today there may really be thankfulness in our heart for thy mercy which endures forever. Thankfulness indeed for thy grace. Thankfulness if thou hast given us faith to believe the great and glorious truths of the gospel. Faith indeed to believe that Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, as the Apostle Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh Lord, we pray then there may be that true conviction. We may not come and go thinking we're all right. And Lord, as it were, just ticking a box by an attendance at chapel today. But Lord, may our concern be far deeper than that, that we may be as those ancient Greeks who came to Philip and said, Sir, we would see Jesus. We pray, Lord, thou wilt therefore hear our prayer to this end, that thou wilt condescend to gather with us and grant us, Lord, that faith to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. O Lord God Almighty, we're thankful we have such a God, a God who does not deal with us as our sins deserve, but is merciful and kind and gracious and long-suffering. And so, Lord, we pray that our time together today may prove to be a time when thy name is lifted up and honoured and glorified, and a time when our souls are eternally blessed. O Lord God, we commend each one to thee, young and old. Lord, do grant thy blessing, we earnestly pray. We continue to pray, Lord, for this people as they meet here week by week. Lord, may they not meet in vain, but Lord, may there be that wonderful blessing of spiritual growth. May they indeed, each one, grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that none may be left to stagnate, that none may be left to wander away, but Lord, each one may realise the relevance and the importance of the things of God, that each one may realise they possess a never-dying soul. And Lord, may that penetrate into each heart, that we must live forever. And we pray, Lord, that may be, and we may have the evidence that we are therefore born again of thy Spirit, and therefore it is eternally well with our soul. We pray, Lord, we may not be deceived. We pray we may not be found at ease. We pray, Lord, we may not be settled down, but Lord, that we may be on the stretch, that we may know thee and know thee more and more. And we read, Lord, of the love of thy great and glorious Saviour, that one who gave his life that we might live. And so, Lord, we seek that our hearts and our affections may be set upon things above and not on things on the earth. Lord, we confess we're naturally carnally minded, but we know, Lord, to be carnally minded is death. We know, Lord, the poor things of time will vanish away. We know, Lord, the words of Solomon so many years ago are still true today. All is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. And Lord, as we have such great and glorious truths contained in thy word, we pray, Lord, that as we read thy word, it may speak to our hearts. Lord, we may not just read it and an historical account, which we know it is, but Lord, that it may we may read it as the very word of God speaking to our souls, and therefore may it really have a gracious and a good effect upon us. And help us then, Lord, to declare what thou hast done for our souls. Lord, leave us not to be silent. Lord, may we honour thee in the words that we're able to speak. For Lord, thou art a gracious God, and praise belongeth unto thee. O Lord, help us then to praise thy name. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for all the mercies we have. Lord, we confess we're often not thankful. Sometimes we're unthankful. But we pray, gracious God, that we may be thankful even today for thy mercy which endureth forever. And so, Lord, be with each one. Be with all the children, Lord, as they grow up, Lord, in this difficult world. And we pray, Lord, that parents may be given much wisdom to instruct their children in the right way and to stand firm for the great things of God, and to not be tempted to give in to the subtleties of Satan, who would always desire to direct us away from the truth of God. And so be with parents, be with those who are older, those in old age. We pray for each one. And, O Lord, we seek that this place may truly be a place of blessing, a watered garden, Lord, where there is much fruit. For, Lord, we know thy word declares that it is by our fruit we shall be known. And therefore we seek, Lord, there may be that evidence of thy grace, of thy mercy, and thy favour in our lives, which may bring honour and glory to our great and glorious God. So, Lord, remember us each for good. Lord, we pray for this people. We pray if it could be thy will, thou would raise up one who will be a pastor to them here, one who may truly be an under-shepherd and care for their souls. O Lord, thou knowest their concerns, their desires, and thou knowest, Lord, who thou wilt call. Perhaps, Lord, there's one now who is concerned about such a position. And we pray, Lord, therefore, thou wilt bring this to fruition, if it could be thy holy will. O Lord, we pray then thou wilt do these things for them. And Lord, we come and we pray for the whole Church of God worldwide in this difficult day in which we live. Lord, a day when there is much departure from the truth, much wandering away. The subtlety of Satan has deceived many and continues so to do. But we pray, Lord, if it could be thy will, we may know better days. We think of those words, wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Lord, we love to rejoice. We love to see thy work appearing, and we pray it may be wonderfully and gloriously evident. And so, Lord, remember our nation. We think especially, Lord, as there'll be their coronation next Saturday, God willing. We pray for King Charles. Oh Lord, we're thankful. We believe he will make that coronation oath. Lord, we're sorry that other faiths will take part, but we pray, Lord, they may be in a minor way. And we pray, Lord, that the truth of God may be displayed once again. We look back, Lord, to the Queen's funeral. We're thankful, Lord, on that occasion how thy word was faithfully read and proclaimed. Lord, we seek for thy mercy upon King Charles, that, Lord, thou would grant thy blessing upon him so that he might be one of those who are quickened, made spiritually alive, and then be a wonderful evidence to our people. And Lord, may honour and glorify thy name. Lord, may he not be interested in trying to impress the people, but Lord, may he be influenced to desire to do the will of Almighty God. So we pray for him. We pray, Lord, then thou wilt come now and look upon us. Lord, we're unworthy sinners, but thou art a merciful God. And we pray, therefore, thou wilt apply thy word today. We know, Lord, power belongeth unto God. And we pray, Lord, therefore, thy word may go forth today with power from on high, may enter into our hearts and be a true blessing. Accept our thanks to the Lord for every mercy. Forgive our every sin. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 993. 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing, thy strength is decayed. Hymn 993.
Thank you.
May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, and we'll read verse number 18. Romans chapter 5, and reading verse 18. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. All of us today are wonderfully blessed to have the Bible to be able to read. And the Bible shows to us the wonderful blessing of God. It shows his faithfulness. It shows his abounding grace to unworthy sinners. And it shows us, every one of us, that we are all sinners, and that we are all unworthy sinners to receive any blessing or any favour. And therefore, if we have been blessed with that personal knowledge that we do stand before a holy God as a guilty sinner, it is because of his grace, his free, unmerited favour toward us. And it's really good and really important for all of us to realise that there's nothing good in ourselves, because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. And perhaps you young people, perhaps many of you, don't realise that just one sin condemns us before a holy God. God is holy. God is sinless. And therefore, one sin alienates us from God. We are separated from God. And unless that sin is taken away, however small it may seem, we shall never go to heaven, but we shall indeed end up in that terrible place of hell. I don't want you young people to not appreciate that the word of God is true. People today mock the word of God. People today are not interested in the word of God. People today don't want to listen, don't want to obey the word of God. And yet, the reality is that God's word is truth. The Lord Jesus said, when you pray to his Father, those wonderful words, "Thy word is truth." Well, I wonder whether you believe that. If I was to say to you this morning, do you believe the word of God to be truth? And perhaps you might say, well, yes, I think I do. And then you need to examine yourself as to whether what you said is right, whether you do believe the word of God to be true, and whether you are following the word of God. The word of God is a book of gracious and glorious instruction to us. And it speaks to us wonderfully about God's plan of salvation. That means God's plan to save our souls, deliver our souls from that which we deserve because of our sin, eternal wrath in hell. And what a wonderful, wonderful favour if God has blessed us to realise the truth, therefore, of God's word. And you young people, don't hope you appreciate the great blessing that God has granted you of being able to come together and even worship God this morning. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're feeling. You may wish you weren't here. You may perhaps wish you were playing football or something. But you see, the reality is that the Lord's Day, which was instituted, of course, in creation, is a day which the Lord has set apart for us to benefit. And the greatest benefit is that our souls benefit. So as you come here this morning, God knows whether you prayed that the Lord might come to you, whether the Lord might speak to you, whether the Lord might be gracious to you. You may look back in your life, and no doubt all of you here have been to chapel on many occasions. And how many of those occasions can you say, well, I benefited from going to chapel, singing the hymns, hearing the prayers, hearing the sermon preached? Or you might have to say, and I don't know, you might have to say today, well, I can't remember anything. All those wasted times. You sat and pretended to listen. I've been privileged to hear many testimonies of people who joined the church, and on many occasions that they have said that they whiled away the time when they were in chapel. They set their mind to think about things other than the things of God. Well, just realize that you may never have another opportunity, perhaps, of hearing the gospel. And so you should really appreciate the blessing it is to come and hear the gospel, because the gospel is, as the word means, good news. There's not much good news today in the world, is there? If you look around the world today, there's not much good news. But there is good news in the gospel. There is good news which is spoken of in the word of God. And that's what you should desire to rejoice in, and be able perhaps to go home and say, well, that was good news today. It was good news to my soul. Now, if it's good news to your soul, it'll be because the Holy Spirit will have convinced you of being condemned before a holy God and a sinner indeed. I mentioned the case of Paul in prayer. Paul the Apostle, gracious man, he said he was the chief of sinners. He said he was the chief of sinners. Well, how do you feel? Do you feel you're the worst sinner? Perhaps you don't even think you're a sinner. Perhaps you don't think about it. But as I've said, sin condemns us to an eternity in hell unless our sin is taken away. Now, the blessing of God's word, as we read together in this chapter, speaks about the two sides. It speaks about what we refer to as the fall of man. And just to just very briefly say, the fall of man, of course, was when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. They were there in that perfect environment. And what did they do? They listened to the devil. And what have we all done? We've listened to the devil. You may have listened to him this morning. And he may have said, well, you can think about lots of things when you're sitting in chapel. You know, the devil's a very subtle person. He's a very able foe. And he will do all he can to distract you and me from the things of God. But what a blessing it is if the Holy Spirit comes and enables us to recognize that what God's word says is true, and it's true in our lives. It's not about other people, but it is about other people, but it's about you and me. We stand before God. We stand as sinners before God, and we need to be pardoned. And we need to have our sin taken away. Well, this chapter that we read together speaks about that. It speaks about those who sinned, and it's spoken about those who have been blessed. And it's wonderful to think that what the apostle wrote so many years ago is so true today and so important for you and me. You know, we read some wonderful words. I don't know if you really took it in, but just for instance, we read here in verse 8, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of us need to know that Lord Jesus Christ died for us. We all need to know that he suffered on that cross at Calvary to satisfy the weight of sin that was upon us, which had to be taken away. And the only way that could be done was through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, just think of that for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was God. He was, of course, man as well. But he was God. And he, Almighty God, was willing to come into this world and to live a perfect life, to suffer, to bleed and die that death upon the cross at Calvary in order to save your soul and my soul. Have you really thought about that? Jesus Christ came for that specific reason, to save our souls. If there had been no Lord Jesus Christ, no sin atoning death, there would be no hope for us. So this morning, we can ask ourselves the important question: what think ye of Christ is the test? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? You young people as well, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've heard about him hundreds, perhaps thousands of times. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it'll be a wonderful thing if you can explain what you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have a wonderful testimony in the Bible, in the Song of Solomon. You probably don't read the Song of Solomon very often. You probably think it's not very interesting. And yet you see it is a book which gives wonderful truth and wonderful favours. And it's good, therefore, to sometimes just come aside and read the Song of Solomon. And in the Song of Solomon, he gives us a wonderful picture. It's a picture, really, of the Lord Jesus Christ as the heavenly bridegroom and the church of God as the bride. And the question was asked, we won't go through chapter 5, it's a lovely chapter, we won't go through it, but this question was put by the church, described here as the daughters of Jerusalem. And the question was, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? What does Jesus Christ mean to you more than everything else? Everyone else. So that's the bottom line, isn't it? That's the test, really. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Well, the bride of Christ, and it's just, I can't go into now too long, but it's very interesting to read that fifth chapter, because the bride started off too lazy to get out of bed. You might say too lazy to come to chapel. She was just comfortable and didn't want to do these things. But she was woken and came to her senses and then desired to find the Lord Jesus. And it wasn't quite as easy as that. Jesus doesn't just come at our beck and call. He will be inquired of by the house of Israel. And it means really we would have to seek the Lord Jesus honestly from our heart. Not just in theory, but from our heart. To be able to seek that he will come and do us good and bless us indeed. And she comes down right at the end of this chapter. And she says this, his mouth is most sweet. That means the words that Jesus speak are most sweet because it suits our spiritual life. Yea, he is altogether lovely. There's no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very beautiful. This is my beloved and this is my friend. And you can read that description from the ninth verse right down to the end. It's a very beautiful description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always need to ask ourselves what we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, is he to us the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely? Are we ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? If perhaps your school friends or workmates or thing ask you a question, what do you think of Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? They might say. What are you going to say? How are you going to respond? You know, it's very easy to change the subject. I've seen it many times. People don't want to be embarrassed, so they change the subject. Talk about something else. The truth of God tells us, ye are my witnesses. And if you and I realize what God has done, the cost of our salvation, the cost to save our soul, that should put things in a right perspective. And we should realize how valuable our soul is and what a glorious Savior we have, who was so willing to lay down his life for such an unworthy sinner that you and I are. And so come back to my earlier question. What do you think of Christ? Do you think he is altogether lovely? Do you think he's the one you need more than anyone else? You've all got to die. You've all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We've all got to spend eternity, either in heaven or hell. We cannot escape that. We are on the earth. We have an immortal soul. It will never die. Just try and think about that. Our minds can't really absorb what eternity means. To think that it goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. And you and I will never change the position we enter into when we die. If we find ourselves in hell, there's no escape. There's no escape. That's not for a few years. No, there's no escape. There's no rest. We get tired on this earth, don't we? And we're thankful to go to bed at night and recover. There's no rest in hell. No rest. You're restless forever. 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 Terrible, isn't it, to think of? And yet you see, on the other hand, if you are saved, if the Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, then you see you're eternally blessed. And you will be found in heaven, in that place of glory, forever and ever. And again, it's hard for our little minds to understand what it means to be there. There's no night. And it's always light. We'll never be tired. We never want to rest. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You and I can't think about that, can we? We think very often at the end of the day how lovely it is to rest and to get into bed. Won't be any need. We shall never be tired. And we shall be with the whole church of God and with the Saviour and be able to praise him for saving our soul, for dying on Calvary's cross to pay the price for our sin. And as I started by saying, one sin for every sin, but my friend, every sin must be forgiven. And we're thankful for that great statement. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. To be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We all need it, my friends. Don't just pass it by. Don't think, well, I understand that, but I'll think about it perhaps later. You may not be here tomorrow. Sometimes you might think, oh, well, you know, perhaps I'll know that a bit later. My friends, it's essential, isn't it? It's absolutely essential that you and I know whom we have believed. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon Calvary's cross. And my friends, if I was to go around the congregation this morning and ask each one whether your hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, would you be able to say, by the grace of God, it is well with my soul? I have the evidence within that Jesus died for me. You see, there's a tendency today to push these things aside. And yet how vital it is, how necessary it is. And there's wonderful peace and joy in when the Lord graciously conveys to us the evidence in our hearts that we are indeed born again in the Spirit of God. We're a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. There's been a dramatic change. Dramatic change has there been in your life? A dramatic change. You must answer before God. But it is important. It is necessary. And therefore, here we have this statement here. Therefore, as by the offence of one, Adam and Eve, judgment came upon all men, you and me, because we've all followed that pattern. We cannot be exonerated. It's what is termed original sin, and it's passed upon all mankind. All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. We need to know the wonderful favour and truth of contained in this verse. So the offence of one has come upon all men. And even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift. What is this free gift? It's the free gift of salvation. And this free gift is indeed the salvation of our souls. It's a great and wonderful blessing to possess this wonderful favour and gift of Almighty God. This free gift. There's a wonderful statement in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians in the second chapter and the eighth verse, and it's this: for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's the greatest gift that you and I can ever receive. This great and glorious gift of eternal life. And it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. And the apostle goes on to tell us not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what you and I have done. It's what God has done. And if God has blessed our souls, if God has given us his grace, his free, unmerited favour, oh, what a blessing, eternal blessing that is. And it's real cause to praise and glorify the name of Almighty God. We're very backward in the day and age in which we live of praising God. And yet, he is worthy. Is he not? Is he not worthy? If he saved your soul, if he's died for you, is he not worthy of praise? And yet, you see, some people seem so reluctant to praise God. So reluctant. We don't want God to deny us, do we? We don't want to get to the gates of heaven and hear that terrible word of condemnation, I never knew you, depart from me. And yet so often we're content to just jog along on this earth. Pride, sinful pride. We don't want to confess our faith. And yet, my friends, you know, the word of God is very faithful and very important in this epistle of Paul to the Romans. The apostle tells us how necessary it is that we are amongst those who do confess and we do speak. The apostle gives us a very good list in the 10th chapter. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings, glad tidings of good things. Well, he says here, but they not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, we are favoured, aren't we, to hear the word of God. And if it enters into our heart, this is what we're told in the earlier verses. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, that's very straightforward, isn't it? And you see, many people today seem to not read such a verse. Or if they do, they ignore it. It's clear, isn't it? It tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Another statement, those that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Well, my friends, God knows today whether you are despising the name of Jesus, that dear friend on whom your hopes of heaven depend. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't pass over such very plain statements. You see, we live in a sad day, a day when so many people are so backward. They obviously don't value their salvation. They obviously don't value the death of the blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. They really don't appreciate the cost it was that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life that we might have life. And yet, there's no confessing. There's no speaking. There's no honouring our great and glorious God. Oh, my friends, we live in a sad day. A day when people are so lukewarm. So lukewarm. They just carry on day by day, week by week. They come and go from chapel. They hear the truth of God. They listen. Has no effect. No effect. Well, let us not forget what I said. Those that honour me, I will honour. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And we need to ask the question, are we despising this great and glorious Saviour? This great and wonderful God who has looked upon us, called us out of darkness into the glorious light. Remember, for by grace you are saved, the free, unmerited favour of God. We don't deserve it. But to think if God has looked upon us and come and called us, spoken to our heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a mercy, what a blessing. If you and I receive this gift of eternal life, it is the gift of eternal life. It is so wonderful and so blessed. We read in the last verse in the 6th chapter of the Romans, for the wages of sin is death, that's our lot. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful God we have. A God who's made a way of salvation. Well, my friends, how humbling it is to think that God, Almighty God, should have looked down and come to us and called us, spoken to our hearts, shown us our sinnership, and directed us to the only way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one man, the next verse says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died that perfect death, lived that perfect life, Never complained. And remember when he was in Gethsemane's garden, he prayed to his Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He did his Father's will. Are we doing the will of our Father in heaven? Or are we hard-hearted and wretched unbelievers turning away from God? Well, we should be thankful we have a God who is kind and gracious and long-suffering and merciful. Well, don't forget then the gift of God. Free gift. You and I can't earn it. If we could, we would claim some glory ourselves. We can't earn it. It's given. It's the greatest gift, but all of us need to receive it before we die. Let's ask ourselves this morning, have we received this wonderful gift of eternal life? And so the apostle went on, he said, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, God's free unmerited favour, did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, beginning of this chapter, commence with these words, therefore, being justified by faith. God gives faith, as we have in this 8th verse, which I read in the 2nd chapter of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith. God gives faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But all of us, my friends, need living faith. It was just like Abraham, who these chapters really refer to. And we read about him in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews, the faith that God gave to him. And we're told this by in the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know what the future was, neither do we. But he received faith to do that which God had spoken into his heart to do. And so that may be the same with you today. What a blessing if God gives you faith to obey his voice. And if we read on, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. We're in a strange country. We're in an alien place, an alien world. This is not our home. I hope it's not. If this is your home, you'll go to hell. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. That means he lived as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here we have the secret. And here's the blessing. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, it's just interesting to think of the life of Abraham. You know, he never had a big mansion. He never had a house. He lived in a tent. A tent which was easily moved from place to place. And therefore, how good it is to be able to read. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, it's a great blessing if as a true believer, you and I today are looking forward to our eternal home. Now, I know we have a body of flesh. I know we live on this earth and God's placed us on this earth. But do you have sometimes a desire to be with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in glory? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Are you seeking an eternal city? Are you seeking it? My friends, you won't live forever. Your life's very short. It's hasting away. It's disappearing. Every day is a day less on this earth. Be a blessing if every day is a day's march nearer home, your eternal home. You see, the people of the world, those who go to hell, their home is this earth. To the people of God who would go to heaven, their home is above. This is not their rest. As Micah says, it is polluted. And it is. And it becomes more and more polluted. Well, what a blessing. Therefore, if today we can indeed rejoice in what Christ has done, in that great and glorious finished work upon that cross at Calvary, paid the price to redeem our soul, yes, to take away our sin, and the price he paid. Just think of it. Try and ponder it, all of you this morning. The blessed God was willing to die that you and I might live eternally with him in glory.
Yes. He looked upon us and he loved us. Isn't that amazing?
From eternity past. They're glorious words, aren't they, Jeremiah 31. Wonderful statement that he makes in that third verse. And this is what he says. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. This is a great truth. With an everlasting love. We can't understand that. Before time began, he loved his. He loved you and me. You look at yourself. You look at your heart. Sure, we come with a hymn writer. What was that in me to merit esteem or give my Creator delight? Well, it was because of this great truth. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's the secret. I wonder this morning if you know what it is to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, drawn away from the vanities of this world, drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every true believer is drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see something attractive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, just referring to the Song of Solomon again, where the bride says in the fourth verse of the first chapter, draw me, we will run after thee. It doesn't say draw me and we'll sit still and do nothing. Draw me, we will run after thee. Well, I wonder whether that's true. That's a true desire of your heart before Almighty God. Draw me and then be willing to run after Christ. He's your Saviour. The one who's given his life that you might have life. What a debt you and I owe. A debt that you and I will never be able to repay. But my friends, it's a great blessing if we desire to speak well of him, to testify of what he's done for us. Testify how he's called us, redeemed us, strengthened us, blessed us, caused us to see ourselves as black sinners and see him as a glorious Saviour. Now, these things are not theories. They're reality. And every true believer passes this way in measure. Some more, some less. But let us not just pass by. We read, don't we? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Many people just pass by. Pass by. Many people pass by this chapel. Think it of no value. Well, may we be able to thank God and praise God if he's come and touched our hearts. But my friends, may we honour and praise him for what he's done. He's worthy, is he not? He's worthy when you think of the cost of our salvation. To die on that cross to redeem our souls. What a mercy if we can come and say, what a Saviour. What a Saviour. And indeed, worthy is the Lamb. Well, that's the song of the redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb. Have you sung that song? We don't get to glory, you know, without a knowledge of that. We don't come to glory as strangers. We come to glory having tasted the Lord is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb, a great and glorious Saviour. Well, I hope all of us this morning recognise that he is worthy. He's worthy of exaltation. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy far above what we can do. And remember, our eternal life. What I've said about eternity. Remember, our eternal life depends upon the price of our sin, the ransom price being paid for,
completely by the glorious sin atoning death of the wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope by God's grace we think well of him and we desire to honour and glorify his great and holy name. Don't worry about yourself. Desire to do that which is in accordance with God's word and rejoice in the wonder of redeeming love. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon. And tomorrow, Mr. Gerald Buss will preach at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. On Friday evening, God willing, the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. An advance notice of our church meeting, God willing, on the 11th of May. Our closing hymn is number 347. 347. Lord, how many are my foes, many they that me oppose. Thou my strong protector be, all my safety is in thee. Hymn 347.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.